Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. You know, we can talk about it. It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. There's a show on... I don't know what channel it's on. It's called TMZ. I don't even know what it stands for. I don't really understand the show. It's just hard to look away. It's a show where you're basically inside the kind of the daily bowl session, the daily prep session for a television program about celebrities. It never gets past the bowl session. They always go back to the editor standing around with all of his cub reporters, most of them paparazzi. And they follow the celebrities and they talk about the most trivial things. What kind of a t-shirt was this guy wearing? What was he eating? Someone had a cup of coffee. Someone was carrying their baby. It's all the celebrities. And to find gossip magazines wherein the celebrities are the subject is nothing new. It's actually a very old enterprise and business. And yet, even when we're not making money at it or asking money for it, we still do it. We still gossip, even about people who aren't celebrities or well-known. Why? We're going to talk about gossip for the next half hour of the program. Hopefully try and talk about it and not engage in it. It's listed in two places in the New Testament with some pretty serious sins. Pastor David Peterson is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article in Higher Things magazine, Something Good to Say. David, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Why do we do it?
Because we're evil. We use words as a way of having power over others. Okay. So we try to use evil words or gossipy things as a way to try to endear ourselves to those we're talking to tear down those we're talking about, or just for some strange, perverse pleasure in the sorrow of others.
I'm looking at Romans chapter 1, where it's talking about some pretty serious sins. And Paul picks up kind of mid-sentence, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. And
right?
We don't think of gossip in the same caliber, in the same set as murder, is it?
Well, sir, I mean, Paul puts it there. That's the Hebrew mode of interpretation is context. So the rabbis would certainly say that we ought to consider it as a type of murder because it's set next to murder. And Luther talks about this to some degree too. You know, that the most precious thing a person has is his reputation, and that's what gossip goes for. You know, to destroy someone or to mock someone in the opinions of others.
When let's talk about the line that exists between just general talk and genuine gossip. I know we like to flirt with the line and we like to shift it back and forth, but where does it actually exist?
Well, I really think this was Donald Deffner, who was one of my professors, taught us years and years ago that there were three rules to determine if we should say something. The first one, is it true? We obviously shouldn't say things that are just simply false. But then if it's true, that's not enough. We should also ask if it is kind. And if it is not kind, then perhaps we should stop, unless the last one was, is it necessary? So those are the three things that we really need to look at. And an awful lot of what we're saying, we justify in our own minds, or we excuse in our own minds by saying, well, it was true. You know, this person did these things, but it's not kind, and of course it's almost never necessary. So this isn't to say that we shouldn't tell the police that our neighbor murdered somebody if we know about it. But, you know, so much of the time what we're doing is simply taking revenge on people because I'm mad that this person did this thing to me, and so I know people who don't like him along with me, so I go and tell them about it so we can rejoice together over his stupidity. I mean, that's really where we cross the line, though. If it's not kind and it's not necessary, even if it's true, why are we saying it?
Okay, let's take an example that most certainly is not gossip, but boy, does it sound like gossip. When Jesus describes the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law, especially to his disciples, sometimes he does it right to their face, but sometimes he talks about them behind their back, and he says some very uncomplimentary things about them.
Right. But, of course, that's necessary, because the problem with the Pharisees is that they're endangering. The problem with the Pharisees is actually that they're so close to the truth. We sometimes kind of forget that the Pharisees are theologically the closest to our Lord of any of the groups and denominations that existed in the New Testament world. And so that makes them actually more dangerous, because their perversion of the truth is more seductive. So what our Lord says about them is absolutely necessary, because they need to be warned of these dangers. It's funny how we will twist these things. We're sort of glad to relish the stupidity of people, and we think that there's no harm in that. In fact, I think sometimes we think it's almost helpful, as though telling our children how stupid our coworkers was somehow teaching them something. And then we turn around and act as though to criticize someone's theology is, you know, out of bounds and ought to just be left between that person and God, when in fact, you know, those are the things that actually matter and aren't important. I remember one time, I don't even know if this is true, but I've used it as an illustration quite a few times, that I heard one time that rat poison was 98% cornmeal. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I think it is something like that. So the problem is you can't give your children rat poison and say just eat the cornmeal out of it. And false doctrine is like that poison that infects things. You can't take the best and leave the rest.
Hey, it's mostly cornmeal, kids. That's good for you.
Cornmeal's healthy. Right. So that, you know, that's not gossip when we say, well, these are the errors of this teaching. It is gossip, though, when we cross the line and we make it about that person's motives or that person's morals or that person's intellectual ability. So if we say, well, this person believes that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but now we have to prove to him we're grateful by our works. You know, so we would hear something like that, and we would say, well, wait a minute. If we must prove to God our faithfulness in order to obtain salvation, that's really a throwback to works. That's grace and works, and that's not what the Scriptures teach. We're saved by grace alone. So we would criticize. I forgot my point.
Well, you were talking about when it's necessary to rebuke false doctrine, but not veering off into attacking the person themselves.
Right. Thank you. That's right. Well, right. So we wouldn't then say, we'd say, look, this is an error. But what we shouldn't do is we shouldn't say, and the person that holds this is just stupid, or the person that holds this is evil and is trying to deceive the world in order to get them to give him money. Or we shouldn't make up motives, which of course we're very good at doing. I mean, we always think we can see the evil motives in other people. And we can see into their hearts how they're not doing things for good.
Is that what you mean when you say that when we gossip, we put ourselves in the place of God?
Yeah, that's right. Well, and of course, in the place of God is the judge, you know, the wrathful God, which is not the position that it's an inaccurate portrayal even of God. Right? When we put ourselves in the place of God, we're never putting ourselves in the place of the one who dies for the sins of the world. We're always putting ourselves in the place of God the lawgiver or God the judge. as though we should be the ones who determine the standards and so forth.
Is it? I mean, there is gossip that is born entirely of falsehood. I mean, people who would just tell lies. Okay.
Yeah.
But then there's the gossip that is most gossip, I think, especially as engaged in among Christians, is telling the truth about someone. I mean, it's true. But it is harmful. And I wonder if it is Satan's way of, because Christians do love the truth. I wonder if it's Satan's way of perverting even the good gift of God that God gives us of a love for the truth to his evil ends and to our ultimate destruction.
We
love the truth,
yeah.
Right? And we think we're truth tellers, so by golly, we're going to tell the truth, no matter who gets hurt.
Sure, and there's this Augustine's idea that there is no such, that the evil has no creative powers, that evil is only the absence or the perversion of good. So you're very Augustine-like when you say that.
You're not gossiping about me, are you?
Yeah. That was a compliment.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I never know how to take it when someone compares me with Augustine. I mean, it can be a compliment.
That's true. It could be, I suppose.
You can also
I meant it as a compliment.
Well, thank you very much. I promise not to say anything nasty about you when the mic is off.
Well, that's good.
We very seldom say anything nasty about our guests when the mic is off, although I cannot say that there isn't gossip going on when the mics are off. When we come back from this break, more with Pastor David Peterson, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article in Higher Things magazine titled Something Good to Say. Well, what's the opposite of gossip? You see, it's not just a commandment against gossiping about our neighbor. If we use our words according to our sinful nature to hurt and harm and defame our neighbor, that's easy. That's like falling off a log. That's the natural, or we should say, the sinful use of our words. What is the right use? They used to say, if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. While that may be a good rule of thumb, it certainly is not what we find in Holy Scripture. In fact, we're required to say good things. Good things. If you don't have anything good to say, find something good. We'll be right back.
Lots of luck to you. Oh, makes no difference how I carry on. Remember, please don't talk about me when I'm gone.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Barbara Masiewicz, Holly Shearer, Shirley Thompson, Jeff Schmidt, Darlene Stratman, Leigh Royce, Amy Swanson, Robin Hamilton, Kim Rule, and Kurt Johnson. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about gossip. Pastor David Peterson is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. You know, sometimes I suspect they're doing it out there, on the other side of the window. Jeff and Craig spend an awful lot of time side by side out there, and I can't hear what they're saying. They hear everything I say. And I suspect sometimes they're just talking about me. I mean, you got to do something to pass the time on the other side of the glass. Their heads are going up and down. Yeah, it's a lot of time. It is just talk at Wilkins' expense. You said before the break that it was that gossip is using our words to harm. And the old adage is, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Is that the way the Christian? I mean, if that were my case, I just basically wouldn't open my mouth.
No, I think what you were saying before the break is exactly right. What we're really called to do is to say good things about those whom God loves. And you said about being a truth teller or loving the truth. You know, the real truth is that all of the sins of the world have been paid for, and we've been reconciled to the Father in the death of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven, and He looks at us as pure and holy. And when we're gossiping, when we're saying, when we see the evil in people, or we choose to see the evil in people, what we're doing in some ways is denying the reality of what has been won for them by Jesus Christ.
I think women have a reputation for this more than men do, but I think it's entirely undeserved. I mean, just gauging Lutheran Public Radio, our little spot of the world here is not a hen house. I mean, it's three roosters strutting around, and there's as much gossip here as there is in any hair salon, I guarantee you.
Right.
It may take a different form, but there is just as much.
Yeah, and I mean, some of that is because, you know, what we're interested in is people, and what we're interested in is what they're doing. And I mean, those are the things, I mean, that's what novels are about. We don't read novels about, you know, internal combustion engines. There's no fiction about that stuff. It's always about people. Even if Disney makes a movie about robots or something, they're just really, or dogs, they're just pretending to be people. And so some of the gossip too, I mean, the reason at Lutheran Public Radio there is gossip there is because you all know a bunch of people and you are all talking about them, and it just doesn't take much for our fallen flesh to slip into how stupid so-and-so is, or did you see what this person wrote or this person said or how that person reacted? And it's pitiful the way we behave. There's no excusing it.
Luther said something about, and maybe it's not with regard to gossip, but I think it would apply well there, that when it comes to something like gossip, let your ear be like the grave. What did he mean?
Right. Well, he means don't repeat it. He means forget about it. Let the sin die there. And there is a sense in which, well, of course, Luther's talking about a little bit different situation there, but when you repeat the sins that you have heard, you bring them on yourself. So there is a sense in which if you're gossiping about some evil thing, you are bringing that upon yourself. You're participating in it in some level. And I don't know what's wrong with myself, Todd, that I gossip so much. And I mean, like everybody living and breathing, I've been hurt by gossip. I don't like it being done about me. If Jeff and Craig want to talk about you behind the glass, fine. But, you know, I sort of think I should be off limits. I mean, that should be enough of a reason to not engage in gossip. Just because we can see the great harm it does, and how, I mean, which of us hasn't been hurt by whether it was you know, just a completely made up story about us, or somebody putting words in our mouths, or interpreting things that we did or said in a bad way? Those would all be sort of false things. But even when it's truth, even when there's something really bad that's happened to us, I mean, we don't want people talking about it, right?
There's kind of a special kind of outrage that we reserve.
Yeah.
For those, I mean, I can be outraged by all sorts of things, but there's a special kind of outrage reserved for someone said something about me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's It's like the liar being called a liar syndrome. I always say, in fact, I have never tried this, just for the record, but I've often thought I could flush out all the drunks in my congregation by going to every single member and simply saying and simply accusing them of being drunks, and guaranteed the drunks will get mad. You know, I mean, there is this kind of response that we have to being rightly accused of something or being sort of caught in our things. I mean, I don't know how many times you catch a person in a lie, and all of a sudden he has this incredible sense of honor that you have outraged and you have insulted. You know, when in fact what's he defending? He's defending an honor that he doesn't have at all, and that's the same kind of reaction I think that wells up in us. It's this pride that, you know, wants to talk about other people. But then as soon as it comes back at us, we're just sort of shocked because, well, we're so nice and so wonderful, and why can't they see that?
The German language has a special word for one of the things from the gossiper side, Schadenfreude, wicked glee, wicked joy. And it seems as though they have put their finger exactly upon why we like doing it. It brings us perverse pleasure.
It's really sad that it does, but we do take a certain joy. I mean, it's not real joy, obviously, but we do have a kind of perverse pleasure in seeing other people being cut down. There's an arrogance in us that just thinks that we've worked for what we've got, or we've earned it, or deserve, you know, and other people have been just given things. And so to see them cut down always stupidly feels somehow to us as though it's proven our hard work or proven that they weren't worthy or something. It's a real sickness because, of course, we've been given everything. I mean, none of us deserve anything. So, but I mean, there is a positive side, as you said, and there is a wonderful thing that we can be part of as Christians. The reverse of gossip is to actually speak good of people. And to look for the good in people, and to see that that there is something lovable in these people that Christ has created and given them, and that he sees something lovable in them, and we ought to sort of seek it out. We do this very easily. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but we are capable of doing that with our children.
Sure,
we can see in our children that they are lovable. And that there are things about them that are just simply fantastic, and we're shocked that the whole world is unaware of it. I mean, they seem so fantastic to us. And that really is a good parallel to how we are viewed by our Heavenly Father. He doesn't just love us all the same. He loves us all individually and uniquely, the way that, you know, because he loves us according to who he has created us. And he has given us unique personalities and strengths and abilities and so forth. And there is a great joy in the fraternity of Christianity in loving one another and finding, you know, that there's something wonderful about, say, Craig and Jeff, you know, or Todd. And there are these wonderful things that make those people who they are, that this is the way God has made them, and they are, there's a lovable thing in them.
At the very heart of it, gossip is essentially a failure to show mercy as we have been shown mercy.
Amen.
So with only 30 seconds here, where's a gossiper like me to turn?
To the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus Christ. This is the only way that gossip can be overcome, is by being forgiven, and from the power that comes from the freedom in Jesus Christ. So we turn to where God has promised to be, in his word and in the Holy Communion, in baptism, in the things that he has given.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article in Higher Things magazine titled Something Good to Say. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month is a great one for Lent. It's beginning in less than a month, this season of repentance leading up to Holy Week and the resurrection of Christ. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, it's a congregational kit of sermons, devotions, Bible studies for Lent called Sacred Head, Now Wounded. You can find out more about it by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040, or you can find the cover of Sacred Head Now Wounded on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Go to issuesetc.org, and right there on the homepage, there's the cover. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Sacred Head Now Wounded. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc. is straight ahead this Wednesday, January the 28th. We're going to delve into two ongoing series that we're doing here on the program. One is a weekly series, a five-part weekly series on bad ways to argue about abortion. Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute will be our guest. Today we'll deal with the confusion of human value with human function. We'll explain that on the other side of the break. And then in the second part of our second hour, Dr. Carl Fikencher will join us, part three of a five-part daily series on biblical examples of preaching. Stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Hour two, after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.